I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to King of the Road. I'm delighted to be joined by none other than Charlie the Hurricane Skidden. Charlie,
how did the hurricane start? Because I've forgotten now.
I just thought that was your nickname.
Yeah, but you made it up.
I made it up, but it's obvious really where it started, isn't it? Look at you. You're a mental...
It's a podcast, mate. No one can look at me.
You're a loose cannon. You're a maverick.
There was a very, very nice...
Lunatic.
A very, very nice Japanese kid who came up to me after the West Ham game.
I saw him on Twitter.
He was lovely. He was a really nice fella, and he was calling me the Hurricane.
Really?
Yeah, he loved it, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love it. No, I have no idea where it started. I know that I started it, but yeah. I don't quite know why. But it's just because of your insane tendencies.
I think that's very unfair coming from you. Look, it's nicknamed Sky, though. It's not bad. Like, people have called me a hell of a lot worse.
You're the Hurricane.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's made its way to Japan.
It's traveled. The Hurricane's been all over the world.
You are the Hurricane in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
You're big in Japan.
I am big in Japan. That fellow was lovely. He was... He hasn't stopped tweeting me since, which is very, very nice.
Oh, really? You'll have to let him know that he's got a mention here, which is completely not on the running order, by the way. I don't quite know how we've ended up doing this.
Sorry, I just wanted to blow me on trumpet.
I saw some of the... because I've been on that CFC Fan TV Twitter account.
Yes, yes.
And he's been active.
Yeah, mate, he's been there. He was doing selfies and a lot.
He seems like a lovely guy. I look forward to meeting him. Does he come over a lot?
He actually moved to London so he could...
Be at Chelsea,
yeah. And he, you know what he does? He translates our videos into Japanese and tells the Japanese people what we're saying.
How many Japanese people can care what me and you... I mean, how many people can care generally? I know exactly, actually.
the figures are there.
Yeah, I know exactly. And yeah,
statistics prove that we're not that big in Japan.
Okay, but I appreciate him doing that.
Oh, it's lovely, yeah. You know, he was a really nice fella. Yeah,
yeah, maybe we should talk to him. Maybe there is some scope to talk to more people in Japan.
Yeah. This one's for you.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway,
I love it. And we're going to... Obviously, you met your hero, and he met his hero, at the Chelsea West Ham game.
I met my hero?
Yeah, well, him.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
He's a mutual...
No.
We're talking about him on the podcast. I assume he's your hero.
Yeah, he is now, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was the best bit of the day, really. I mean, again, Chelsea...
Dreadful, wasn't it?
We were rubbish.
The atmosphere was so flat.
Inside the ground, it was rubbish. The only kind of not nice bit of the day, but the only good part about the atmosphere was all the brilliant
Ray
banners and songs and everything for Ray Wilkins.
We did really well on that front. I thought West Ham were loud.
West Ham did very well. West Ham were going potty in the second half.
Yeah, they were loud, weren't they?
As you'd expect, but... Chelsea were rubbish. You know, the team, again... I mean, people sort of slag me off a bit when I bang on about leadership and all those sort of qualities, but it's so clear that that's what we're missing.
Yeah.
That it's very difficult not to look at.
I don't think people would ever... Well, nobody I know would...
There's no one I know either, but it's people on Twitter.
For wanting leadership. I think it's quite a natural thing that this team's clearly missing. And we're missing, and I think it's typified by the fact that somebody like Gary Cahill, who, however you think about him, he's not captain.
No, he's not. He's not. And he was more at fault for the loss, not the loss, it felt like a loss, for the draw of the name on, but for that disgraceful header.
Yeah.
Well, what's he doing? But, you know, there's only so many times, and I said it last week, individual errors again.
Yeah.
But one individual error is going to happen. you know, 2 individual errors, 5 individual errors, 10 individual errors over the season is going to happen because they're humans. But when every single goal we concede, pretty much...
is an assist by a Chelsea player.
It's down to individual errors, it's down to not marking, it's down to an errant pass. What that means is it's a lack of concentration, it's a lack of togetherness, and that stems from a lack of leadership.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I mean, I could see probably on that pitch, I'd say Kante and Azpilicueta were the only two that, to me, that I want part of a kind of Chelsea senior players going forward.
Yeah, I think I agree with every word of that. It's terrible. And do you know what else is terrible? Losing to West Ham, or in fact any other London club.
We drew.
Oh yeah, we drew. It just feels like
it does feel like a loss, because I've had
West Ham fans on my case telling me how rubbish we are and how good they are.
Yeah.
We drew.
I know.
Although they have taken 4 points off us this season.
They have.
Which is just rubbish. Because I've got quite a lot of West Ham friends.
Have you?
Yeah, people like Rob Armstrong and they pipe up. Yeah. You know what he's like. He's lively at the best of times.
I know.
So he's been on my case.
I swerved him for about a month after they beat us.
Yeah, yeah, it's a right move. It was definitely a right move, and it's just grim.
My office as well is like the chicken run.
Really?
And funny enough, it's all the bosses. The head of sport of the Daily Mail is a huge West Ham fan, and so are a couple of the other people that are high ups. And the deputy editor, Tottenham fan. So I've been very, very quiet recently at work. It's not been fun.
I know. There's nothing worse, you said, than losing to other London teams.
No.
Any defeat is bad to take. But when you just then have to deal with it, like whenever Chelsea have had bad results, like, you know, when Arsenal knocked us out of the League Cup semi-final this year?
Yeah.
I'm from North London.
Mm.
My cousin, who's like one of my best mates, is a cabbie who is an Arsenal fan.
Mm.
I just don't need that. I just don't need it.
No, and look, I mean, some of the greatest memories over the last 10, 15 years have been beating Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yes.
And being so much better than them and being indisputably London's top dogs.
Yes.
Indisputably.
I know.
We haven't beat Arsenal for about 5-6 games now.
Mm.
And Tottenham winning for the first time in 28 years. West Ham getting... I might leave.
I know. Imagine how I feel. Yeah. Like, I grew up in an area of London, like North West London.
Yeah.
It's an area that's split pretty equally between Chelsea fans, Arsenal fans, and then there's a smattering of QPR fans.
Well, it's all the groomsmen at your wedding, and that's it, isn't it?
All the groomsmen at my wedding, all my ushers, they are all QPR fans.
I know.
Yeah, terrible. So anything like that. But I think there are certain pockets of London that are strictly one team.
Yeah,
so if you're from Barnsbury, if you're from Barnsbury or Caledonian Road, it's just an Arsenal area.
You're an Arsenal fan.
It's an Arsenal area. If you're from Enfield, that far north,
If you're unfortunate enough to live in Cheshunt, you're also unfortunate enough to support Tottenham Hotspur.
Exactly. But
Essex and all that way.
All West Ham.
It's West Ham.
Exactly. All West Ham. And then anything south of Battersea.
Yeah.
As far south as, say, Wimbledon, incorporating all those areas, Wandsworth, Clapham, it's all Chelsea.
It's all Chelsea. But that spread, as I suppose as traditional London, or, you know, people who would consider themselves Londoners have gradually moved out of the city centre.
Yeah.
I mean, those people obviously moved to Surrey.
Yes, exactly.
Places like Kingston. That's a huge Chelsea area.
They've got it good. They're all right. So say you're from... if you're from Ealing, you're Chelsea.
Yeah.
You're a Chelsea fan and you probably know a couple of QPR fans.
Yeah.
But they don't know what it's like. Nobody. I imagine the vast majority of people listening to this podcast, you don't know what it's like to grow up in an area and be from an area that's split.
Yeah.
I know too many Arsenal fans. I know too many Tottenham fans. I know too many QPR fans. Because where I grew up pretty much on Kilburn High Road.
Yeah.
Everyone can support everyone. Everyone's from any... Like, it's really annoying.
Well, the reason I'm a Chelsea fan is obviously my granddad is from Kenneth Town.
Right. Which I would say would be an Arsenal area.
It is. It's a rabid Arsenal area with a smattering of Tottenham. And he was the only Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
And he did it to piss everyone off. Basically, when he was... His first game was that very famous Moscow Dynamo game.
Yes, it had more support than any other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 100,000 people in the stadium at Stamford Bridge, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And And so he used to get the same bus every week to go down to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the same bus back, and everyone would take the mick when Chelsea lose because he was the only Chelsea kid
in the area.
And that's why. And obviously my dad, he started taking my dad when my dad got to about 6-7 years old in the mid 60s.
Right.
But they were still the only kind of Chelsea kids.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. Like when I was a kid, like when I used to play football, around Swiss Cottage. I used to go as far up to Willesden, the Willesden Sports Centre. I used to play there. I was of an age where I'd wear a kit.
Yeah.
And every now and again, on the horizon, you'd spot somebody else in a tangerine and graphite with the word cause emblazoned. Yeah, you'd spot the odd one.
That was my first ever kit. That.
But you were far outnumbered by JVC kids.
There were a lot of
JVC. There were a lot of Sharp actually as well. They were
a hell of a lot of Sharp. Few candies.
And the odd Guinness top obviously for QPR. A
couple of Holstons.
A fair few Holstons were around as well. Yeah. But every now and again, you see the cause.
You see a cause or a Commodore.
Yeah, and you always felt an affinity. Exactly, you always felt an affinity. Something really glamorous on the back, like Donaghy.
Furlong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
He was 8, actually.
Yeah. So our record in London derbies has just been so frustrating this year. Going away to West Ham.
Oh, it's terrible. That was like
Tottenham beating us.
I was so far up.
Arsenal beating us, knocking us out of the cup. It's just do they not care about me? Do they not know what I'm doing? Do they not know how my WhatsApp group is popping off? Because the trouble is a problem.
That's a mute all day long.
Oh mate, all day long. The problem is as well, on a WhatsApp group that I'm in, I'm a Chelsea fan and majority QPR fans.
Yeah.
They are insignificant. So what happens is they just align themselves with whoever is better than Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, at the moment, they're all talking about Tottenham. They're talking Tottenham up. I'm hearing, brilliant Tottenham on the rise, you know, Dele Alli, best player ever, all this, right?
Nonsense.
That's what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would have been, God, Arsenal. They wouldn't have mentioned Tottenham.
Yeah, exactly.
It means as a Chelsea fan, you can't really win. They just hitch their wagon to whoever's better than Chelsea.
God, I'll tell you what, I'm well glad they didn't get promoted.
I mean, you're well glad you're not in that group. But this is the thing, it doesn't matter if they get promoted because they're not in the conversation. They all become Tottenham fans or Arsenal fans or whoever because I don't know who they're playing.
No.
Like, it doesn't matter. No. So,
Put an Albion or someone.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. So, but you basically, as a Chelsea fan, dealing with QPR fans, you can't win because they will forever hitch their wagon to somebody that's better than you. And if we were top in England, we were like running away with the league and playing Real Madrid in the semi-final of the European Cup, they'd all be Real Madrid fans.
That's natural. I mean, I cannot stand it. One of my real hatreds in kind of modern football is when people try and tell you that you need to support
the English team.
What are you talking about? You know Jim White, the Scottish who does Deadline Day? I'd go at him on Twitter.
Did he reply?
No, he didn't care.
Jim, when you had a fight with Josh McEachran on Twitter?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, I wrote a very nice piece about Josh McEachran. When he finally left Chelsea, and I remember watching Josh McEachran as a 16-year-old, and he played very well for a couple of games, and it didn't really work out for him, but he was fantastically talented. And the piece was sort of in praise of him, also recognising that he took his eye off the ball a bit. You know, he went out with someone from Corrie and all of that stuff. But it was mainly about how Chelsea had failed him a little bit, sending him on loan here and there and everywhere. Right. And he went mad on Twitter. I mean, he obviously didn't read it or didn't understand it or something.
Got annoyed with it.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
sleep all right that night?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously I'm looking the fool because he's going to the World Cup with England, isn't he?
And what happened with Jim White?
Jim White was saying, you know, I think it's disgraceful how fans over here seem to be wanting Tottenham to lose. I mean, I can't remember who they were playing on Tottenham.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To lose against everyone. Mm. It might have been Juventus.
I quoted it.
I was like, Jim, mate, I hope they get battered.
Yeah, I really can't understand how anyone would ever want. Like, what does a Chelsea fan gain from Arsenal winning a European Cup?
I am so desperate for Arsenal to get Atletico Madrid in the semi-final of that thing they're in.
Yeah.
Europa League. Because I don't want them winning that.
Yeah, you can't refer to it as a thing, mate. We're in it. That wonderful esteemed cup that they're trying to get hold of.
Yes,
yeah, understood.
Exactly,
yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah, because obviously they're going to Moscow. They've won that already.
They've won that, yeah.
So is that the dream? Atletico, I haven't been following that tournament. Who's going to stop them winning it?
So Atletico are winning their quarterfinal as well.
Okay.
So we need Arsenal, but they're the only decent team in it. So we need Arsenal to get Atletico.
But either way, they'll have to play Atletico. They'll end up playing them in the final.
Yeah, you would have thought so, but I'd rather...
I'd rather over two legs.
Go and spank them in Madrid.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't want like Danny Welbeck scoring a winner in a final.
I know. Yeah, and the problem is, like, they can win that trophy.
I mean, I wouldn't say this...
I'd be devastated if Arsenal won that trophy. I rate that trophy. I like it.
Yeah.
I've gone on record in the past saying that I like it. But, yeah, anybody, any Chelsea fan who wants Tottenham to win in Europe, I'm too old to be having a pop at anyone. I don't care. Yeah. Do what you've got to do. Yeah, do what you've got to do. If you want Tottenham to win in Europe, go ahead. Good luck.
Yeah, but don't...
But me and you don't follow the same game.
No.
We're not fans of the same sport.
Exactly. And I wouldn't extend that to every English team. You know, when Leicester were in Europe and they were playing like Seville.
Mm.
I was like...
We want them to win it, though.
No, I don't want them to win it, but they can win that game.
Yeah.
For the purposes of watching it in the pub.
So, yes.
Yeah. I can't bring myself to sort of...
Yeah, I know.
Get too, like, anti-Everton when they're in the Europa League.
Yes.
But, like... Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool and Man United can all lose every game they play.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, so it's a very weird...
And if Leeds were ever to get back in it, they can...
Yeah,
they can go back out.
If they ever get in it, they can go out very quickly if they want. Yeah.
And when QPR gets the LDV Vans quarter-final again or whatever.
See, that I don't care. This is the problem. This is why you can't win with it.
I know.
Because no Chelsea fan ever cares. What they're doing. They didn't care if they win a play. You know that they beat someone at Wembley once?
Yeah.
And...
I think I was watching Holmes Under the Hammer on the other side or something.
Well, I'm not even joking. I was at an Arctic Monkeys gig. I can remember, I was at an Arctic Monkeys gig in Finsbury Park and they beat somebody at Wembley. I didn't even watch it.
No.
I don't care.
Mm.
They're not like
I'm already bum you, aren't
you? Exactly. This is it. What else has been going on anyway? We've been up to weekend good?
It was all right.
Football aside.
Until the football, it was fine. It was my dad's 60th.
How'd that go?
It was very good. It was very good. It was me, dad and granddad, and the various women of the team.
Oh, playboy.
No, they're all my family members.
Oh, right. Related women.
Yeah,
sorry.
Related
apologies.
Right. And my aunt and uncle. It was nice. Went to a very nice kind of country pub. Three courts.
Round your way.
Yeah. And... he got a nice big Chelsea cake that my sister had made, that my aunt had made for him. He got a bottle of port with his name on it. He's actually been given enough port to float a ship.
Lovely.
Which is good, because, I mean, he likes it.
Yeah.
So.
It won't have any left now.
No.
When was it? Saturday.
So he's drunk it all. That has gone.
Yeah, nice. I was at a party that night as well, Saturday. My mate, he's my best man. My best mate.
Oh, this was Friday, wasn't it?
Friday night it was, yeah. He turned 35.
Did it?
And we went to a lovely place in Chiswick.
Chiswick's very nice.
It's nice. It's nice. Far. It's far out. I find it far.
Far from you?
No, far from the West End, far from central London.
Yeah,
it's all a chore on a district line. You're on it a long time.
Turnham Green. Isn't
it? Yeah, if you're commuting to Chiswick, it's aggro.
Yeah. I live in Hammersmith, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, but you can get off at Shepherd's Bush. It's a lot easier.
True.
You get central line Shepherd's Bush. It's much better. But this place in Chiswick was wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful night. High Road House, it's called, which is like part of the Soho House
fraternity
brand. Yeah, it's like, it was just exactly one of the brothers of Soho House, and it was quite weird actually. He's not a member, but no. his ex girlfriend is a member.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So she turned up.
She turned up to his birthday.
Well, she had to turn up because he wouldn't have got in there without her. I don't know if she was going to be invited anyway. I assume she was.
Right.
But if not...
So this is all very amicable between...
Yeah, well presumably.
Are we saying his name or not saying his name?
Dominic.
Yeah, this is all the QPR fans.
I heard that he's now dating someone else that he hasn't told me about.
Yeah.
And the new girl listens to this and hears that the ex-girl was at the party. That would be my dream.
And kick right off.
Yeah, that would be superb. But... I didn't know that they were such good mates. I mean, I hear her name now and again.
Yeah.
But she's a member. Right. So he's either craftily invited her and gone, I'm having a birthday party.
Do you want to come?
Do you want to come, A? And if you do,
can we all use your membership?
Yeah.
That's good. I mean...
I like it. Also, she turned up, and I don't know what's happened since I last saw her, but she's morphed into Billy Piper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Piper's a very attractive girl.
Yeah.
She's in my class at school.
Swindon girl.
Yeah, she is. But...
She's in my cousin's class in primary school.
My mate's ex-girlfriend has literally turned into her.
What, facially?
Yeah, facially. Yeah. I was like, why'd you do that? She went, because I want to.
Talking of ex-girlfriends, Raw.
Yeah, I've heard. I know where this is going.
When you were in Chiswick, I was up the road in Shepherd's Bush, and I met the previous...
Oh, I can see where this is going, yeah.
The previous Mrs. Jennings.
I mean, I can see exactly, they weren't married.
But
I can see exactly where this is going. This has taken a turn, because I was using this podcast as a stick with which to bash up my best mate about his ex-girlfriend, and you've managed to...
Yeah, I met yours on Friday night. It was wonderful.
Yeah?
I was in Shepherd's Bush. I had a couple of beers after work, and then one of our very good friends from Chelsea said, oh, I'm in Shepherd's Bush, which is where... Joe Dwyer.
Okay.
So which is where I live. If you're about, I'm with my mate and his missus. And I was like, yeah, I'll swing by about 9 o'clock, fine. Couple of beers, talking to these two. And she said her name, and it kind of didn't really register. And it was only sort of 45 minutes into the conversation. Because of the things we were talking about and the area that we were in, and the things that I'd known about her,
right,
that I realised that it was your ex-girlfriend that you were with for quite a few years before the lovely Victoria. And and I decided... to kind of, like, not say anything, because I didn't...
Oh, right, had you pieced it together? Yeah,
I've pieced it together already, and I said to my mate...
Like Sherlock.
I said to my mate, I've just realised who that is. And he was like, yeah.
Right.
So I didn't know the story.
So did it come out? It did.
Okay. But I didn't bring it up, because I didn't want the fella getting the hump, I didn't want her getting the hump, I didn't want anyone getting the hump.
With you?
With me, through you, because you tend to give people the hump quite a lot.
Fair.
And so I just sort of kept stum and carried on with the conversation. And the conversation turned around to football. And as you'll be very aware, she's a QPR fan. Her fella's a QPR fan. And I was doing much what me and you have done on this podcast.
And slate QPR.
And, you know, had a bit of a dig at QPR. My mate's Chelsea fan. I was being a bit gobby, basically. Okay. And she said, God, you remind me so much of my ex.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, well, he's like...
Is she obviously referring to your beautiful looks and
exactly.
Excellent clothing?
No, it's because I...
It's because I was gobbling that football. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
because I was getting on her nerves. And I said, yeah, well, he's one of my best mates.
Oh, right.
She was very nice about it. She didn't automatically... Leave?
No, that's an improvement from how I remember the relationship.
She was very complimentary. Very complimentary about your wife.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very sweet.
And yeah, it was just interesting.
No, I bet.
It was good.
We picked this one up off air.
Yeah. I'm a bit worried. Well, yeah. I say I'm a bit worried, but we know who we're talking to.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, do you know what, though? That my time at this event, Dom's birthday, it actually made me wonder, is it time for me to start swanning about Soho House? You know, I've been a graduate club loyal for a long time.
Yeah.
That's well known. I had a party for my mum. My mum turned 60.
Oh, I remember.
My mum turned 60 a while ago, and we had the party at the Groucho Club. And ever since then,
she'll appreciate this when she listens to this, won't she?
Yeah, she turned 60 yesterday.
Yeah. She's looking forward to it.
Yeah. And my mum's looking forward to this party that I threw for her.
Yeah.
But you know, ever since then, which is obviously hasn't happened yet, but I've been a loyal member of the Groucho Club. Yeah. We've had some good nights in there.
I love going there with you.
However, it's great.
Swanning around with a little cocktail, pretending I'm cool.
Yeah, no, it's a great place.
I mean, I am cool, but pretending I'm even more cool.
It's a wonderful thing, because also London's fashionable West End can be tricky at times.
It can.
If you arrive in the West End late at night on a Saturday without a reservation, you'll struggle. It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And having a little club where you're always welcome, where everybody knows your name.
Cheers.
It's quite a nice thing. And like I say, I've been Groucho-ing now for a few years.
Do you remember the induction we went on at the Groucho?
Yeah,
This was brilliant. This was a great night.
Yeah.
So we went in there and we were all, I mean, we were dressed like we'd come straight off the...
Speak for yourself, Charlie.
No, we come
after work.
Yeah, we look good. But everyone else was in like a suit, weren't they?
Yeah. This is what we're talking about, by the way, because there's a chance that anybody listening to this has absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
All over the world, I imagine, but certainly within central London in the West End, there are private members clubs. So you join, you pay a joining fee, you get proposed by the members, and then it's your club. And it's supposed to be, the principle is, it's a home from home. So somewhere that you can go, it's not work, it's not home, it's like a third space.
Yeah. I mean, my flat doesn't charge me 14 quid for a cocktail, but...
No, but it would if you could get away with it. I'm sure you would.
Yeah, it would. We went on an induction, didn't we? We had a tour of the whole place.
And it's very arty, and there's like...
blinding, loads of cool little rooms.
Loads of cool rooms, and Damien Hirst paintings up on the wall.
And cool people and fit women everywhere.
Very cool people, and us.
Yeah, and us.
Cool people, you know, pretty people, and me and you.
Yeah, you know there's two girls doing a podcast now going like...
These two wallies turn
around. Yeah. No, I was going to say it's full of handsome geezers.
So these two
lads in polo shirts swanning about with a G&T.
Yeah, do you know, as a man who lives in touching distance to Chiswick and you spend a lot of your life in the West End, how do you feel about private members clubs? Would you join? Do you want to be a member of Soho House?
In the famous words of someone, I think it was Groucho Marx, funny enough.
It was, yeah. I know where you're going.
I wouldn't be a member of a club that... I wouldn't join a club.
I wouldn't join a club that would have me as a member.
Look at that, I mucked up the quote. I'm all for it. If I hadn't seen such riches, I could deal with being poor. You know, I love the Groucho, so yeah, I think if I had a Soho House membership, you'd never get me out of there.
See, this is why I'm thinking of joining Soho, because as brilliant as Groucho is, sometimes you're in Chiswick, sometimes you're in Shoreditch, sometimes you're in Barcelona,
Istanbul,
sometimes you're in Istanbul, and to have a little home from home all around the world.
It's good news. I think Soho House is good news. I'd say I want to become a member, but what I really want to do is have you become a member and you pay for everything and I come with you.
I mean, and that's kind of the relationship that existed with the Groucho.
Very true. I actually did go to one that was run by Soho House. I went to that, the Ned by Banks.
I love the Ned.
Which is very good. I went to their Japanese restaurant.
I went to their Jewish deli.
Did you?
Yeah, I liked it.
I bet that was good.
I like that food, man. I can get straight involved with, you know, a potato latke or some sort of like salt beef hash.
Oh, mate, I honestly...
The Ned's good, isn't it?
On more than one occasion, I've made pilgrimages to the Jewish bagel house at the top of Brick Lane.
Yeah. It's nice. Do you know what's mad about the Ned?
Go on.
I've never had this in my life before. Have you ever had proper deja vu? Like, proper deja vu?
No.
Right.
I think so.
I had... For the first time ever, you know, people go, a bit like deja vu, this. I don't even know what they're chatting about and whatever.
Sounds a bit foreign.
I had it and I thought, actually, it is a slightly existential experience. It was weird. It really was. I went to the Ned with Victoria and with a wonderful couple. It's sort of our go-to couple we knock about with. They're from Essex. So they love it. So we're having dinner in this Jewish deli. It's on with Sammy and Wayne. who are, yeah, truly wonderful people from Brentwood. And I said, excuse me, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. So I'm walking through, you go through, it's all busy, there's a live band on playing some wonderful music.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's well dressed, it's a brilliant clientele, drinking very, very lovely, like, smart drinks. It's just a good place.
Yeah.
And I've manoeuvred my way through the crowds, dancing crowds, and headed downstairs to the, to, they call it the vault, and down in the vault, the bathrooms are. And I'm walking down, and it suddenly hit me. It was really weird, it was actual deja vu. I've looked around, I thought, I've been here before. This is mental.
Mm.
Because I've never been here before. Yeah. I've never been, this is my debut at the Ned. And I've definitely been here. What is going on? Gone back upstairs, I'm kind of sitting there. I'm not party, I'm not within the conversation anymore.
No.
I'm not part of what's going on around the table. And then it suddenly hit me. In my previous career, to prior, post an actor, pre...
Chelsea fans. Stuff.
Chelsea stuff, football stuff.
You were
I was working TV.
Yeah.
And
it's where you met Victoria.
It's where I met Victoria. Victoria was my boss on Big Brother. But that's that's a conversation for another day. But I worked on this show called The Bank Job. And it was this really weird Endemol show. So I was based in Shepherd's Bush. The production office was at Endemol in Shepherd's Bush. And the location was this disused bank.
Right.
Right, but it was a shell of a building. So George Lamb was a presenter, and it was in this big cage, and you could win an awful lot of money. And it was live money, and they got the money transferred. But the building was derelict, and we were filming in there. There was no heating, there were no bathrooms, there were no running water. We were all freezing. I remember sitting at my desk, because by the time we made the office there, I was sitting at my desk wearing a hat, because it was all over New Year.
I bet you didn't moan about it.
Oh, mate, I did. Oh, Charlie, yes, I
bet you were such hard work.
It was, I did two series of it, came back for a second series, George Lamb presenting, and it was all filmed there, but I had, it's got to be 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I had no recollection of it until I went through to the bathrooms, because obviously you can change everything about a building, you can make it unrecognisable, but the vault...
Yeah, it's the same.
It's a vault, you know, the whole point of it is that it's this enormous thing that can't be moved.
Yeah.
And I went downstairs, and it was... So that site was the former Bank of England.
Yeah.
And it's where we filmed The Bank Job.
That's wicked.
Wonderful place. Yeah. Lovely. And awesome. Anyone who hasn't been there needs to get there sharpish, because I do thoroughly enjoy it.
And what we'll do, when we put this podcast up, we'll tag Soho House in it.
Tag the Ned.
Yeah, they'll chuck us a couple of members.
We might get a complimentary bagel.
I was thinking, like, premium membership.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'd like to do a night there. So it's a hotel.
Let's do it.
I'd love a night there. Right, while we now plot a way to somehow get some sort of sponsorship from this.
Yes.
I suppose it's best to wrap this up. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really do appreciate it. Let me know your feedback on Twitter. I'm called Chelsea Rory, and I'm alongside Charlie Dot Skillen.
No, just Charlie Skillen.
Just Charlie Skillen.
One word.
There we go. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.